Hi, I'm Ruthie, and I have a recorder. Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 5 to Out There. We'll meet people and plants around the streets and paths of Northampton, and we'll think about ways we can share the world. Here on Valley Free Radio, or archived online at weatherbeer.com/out there. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let them take the bus and lead a circle for us. They can have a Cadillac and T-Bud too, but give me my rocket bicycle for two. And you are listening to a brand new episode of Out There. It's Wednesday, April 24th, 2019. Thanks for listening to Out There in the past. If you've been listening for the last like 2¾ months, to tell you the truth, you've been listening to some recorded episodes because I have been out of town in a far, far way. Today's episode is not at all from the streets and paths of Northampton. I actually was in Trinidad for a bunch of the winter, working for 6 weeks on a farm, one family farm on the south coast of Trinidad in La Lune, Moruga, Trinidad. I found the farm off of a website called Workaway, workaway.info. It's kind of like woofing. But I'm back in the studio today and a little bit nervous because I haven't done a show in a long time. And I think I will start. I think I'm probably going to end up doing a lot of talking today, telling stories of the trip and all. But I think I'll start with this short little clip from Kevan, who is part of the extended family, friends, neighbors, one of the people that was involved in the hospitality and welcoming strangers at the or foreigners at the farm there. And I got this little clip from him at my farewell party. This would have been like April 7th or 8th, I think, earlier, 2019.
About your heart.
Oh, anybody need my heart, Kevan from Trinidad? I have two hearts, love and kindness. So who need a heart, they will get love. But if I feel for her, I give her my kindness, because Ruthie was a nice person in we country here, Trinidad and Tobago. And it always have more like she coming back here in Trinidad and Tobago to show people around about love and united. So Ruthie, you meet good people, you meet people who treat you good, you meet come like a sort of my whole life, you meet a whole family here.
And that
looking to meet like more like Ole coming back here and sharing all the experience like that.
Now I'll vouch for Kevan that his heart is so open and he shares it very willingly and honestly. So. Good folks here. Good person here.
Good people.
Yeah.
Loving people.
All right, so that was a little clip from Kevan. And now I think I'm just going to read a letter. I've written about 10 letters back to Trinidad since I left to just different people. And I don't know if any of them will get there. So maybe the letter writing is just like therapy for me. But here's a letter for Kevan from April 22nd, 2019, Knoxville, Tennessee. Hi, Kevan. I spelled it K-E-E-V-A-N. And then I said, do you really spell your name K-E-V-I-N? I hope you are well and continuing to meet lots of great woofers. That's the foreigner volunteer work exchange program. I'm still returning from Trinidad in body and in my mind. Right now, I'm on a bus headed to Massachusetts. I should be home tomorrow evening. Home is a funny word. I just spent 10 days at my Kentucky home with my parents and brother and his family. Before that, I was at my Trinidad home. Thanks for helping make it that. Your hospitality was great. Nika and I really enjoyed that evening that you introduced us to lots of your friends and neighbors in their homes. This bus I am on has about 40 people on it. At least half of the passengers are people who've been traveling for days, weeks, or even a few months. They are families who have come north from Guatemala, Honduras, Ecuador, Bolivia, etc., and crossed the U.S.-Mexico border and been put in detention camps and applied for asylum and been temporarily released until their next court date. They don't speak English yet, so I'm really glad I can speak Spanish and translate to help them find their buses and stuff. I'm grateful for the chance to pass on some of the hospitality shown me in my travels. The necklace you gave me, I told you I wouldn't take it off till I returned in September. Well, that's not exactly true. I did take it off so I could shorten it a little. My brother tied it back on me. Now it's too short to slip over my head and very comfortable. I also have the anklet that I made, the friendship anklet that I made. One of them I put on Glendon's ankle and one I kept. So now I have the necklace on my neck and the anklet on my ankle, and from head to toe I'm reminded of Trinidad. And sometimes when I think my time there was just a dream, I touch the necklace and I know it was real, is real. Please tell your family I said hi. I'm looking into shipping used bikes there, but so far the options I have found are very expensive, like $150 or $200 US dollars per bike, so I'm looking for more options. I wish you and your family and community all the best. Love, Ruthie. So that's my letter to Kevin. Next, I think I'll go to my email and read an email I sent to my friends and family, a few of them. My first email back home. This is from Wednesday, March 6th, 2019. Hi, friends. Thanks for your emails and love sent my way. I hope you all are well. I've been at one family farm here in Laloon, Maruga, on the south coast of Trinidad since February 23rd. When I was en route to Trinidad, having not heard from Mika on the bamboo boat, my French friend with the rickshaw who I was going to join down there, I hadn't heard from Mika for over a week about his whereabouts, and so I made alternate plans. I signed up for workaway.info, it's kind of like woofing, from my tablet device on the bus to Miami. I couch surfed for 4 days in Port of Spain and then came here to the south coast. It's an extended family farm on the steep slash-and-burn slopes near the sea. I've spent lots of time weeding and planting chives, scallions, they call them chives, also picking up tamarind, what we call tamarind, and eating figs, what we call bananas, and coconut and pawpaw, what we call papaya. But most of my time is spent walking around and wondering what is going on and what people are saying to me, and marveling at the friendliness of people sitting on their porches who call out to me and want to talk, and the divisions between public space and private space. My first morning here, I was looking out the bedroom window of the Wolf House, the volunteer house, and a couple guys walked through under the house with machetes and corn sacks. I called out hi and asked them where they were going and what was in their bag. They said they were going to the bush to tend their crops. In the bag was fertilizer for the plants. Sorry to be nosy, I said, I'm just curious. I realized this morning that I haven't seen a clock or calendar since I got here, and I've been in a lot of people's houses. The language is difficult, and people are constantly eagerly talking to me. And I'm like, what? What day is it? What time is it? Where am I? How did I get here? How do I leave? I have heard from Mika, my French friend who I went down there to meet, and today I finally made it to a place with Wi-Fi, a government-sponsored computer center in the next town over. So I'm looking at travel plans and communicating with folks back home, realizing there is life on other planets. I dream of starting a little bike project here at some point in the future, or at least shipping a few down after I return to Massachusetts. It's a small town similar to Shenandoah, Kentucky, where I grew up, but less spread out and more people walk. It's not totally corrupted by the automobile yet. It's about 2 kilometers from the volunteer house to where the rest of the family live. And if I had a bike, but it's nice to walk and meet people. The head farmer, Noriga, is 65 years old, went to grad school or seminary, was a preacher in the Seventh-day Adventist faith for some years, but got tired of the hypocrisy and racism in the power structure and left the church and is now more like Rasta. The farm grows vegetables and fruits for market, and like most small farms, there are so many ideas, but not enough time or money for supplies or tools. Seriously, I've been here for over a week with no machete. Noriga also has a son who is 30 years old, who was born with a condition where he's paralyzed and bedbound and can't talk. We took a liking to each other. So I spend some time every day with him, feeding him or hanging out. Liming, as they call it. Hanging out, they call it liming here. I managed to mostly avoid Carnival, which has consumed most of the island for the past couple weeks. It finally got over last night. That's all for now. Since I have internet today, I'm hoping to look at travel ideas of joining Mika in Curaçao or Los Roques. I think I'll return to the U.S. or Kentucky around the beginning of April. Love, Ruthie. All right, so that was my letter. That was my first letter back. And speaking of Carnival and all that, I will play the winning song from Carnival from Port of Spain in Trinidad from March. This is Skinny Fabulous, Michael Montano, Bungie Garland with Family Lele. Listening to Out There here on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Today's show, I'm talking about the recent trip I took to Trinidad, where I was for like 6 weeks of the winter. And I just got back a couple days ago, actually. Well, I was in Kentucky for part of that time. So I just read like a couple of letters. All right, I'm going to read my next update from Trinidad number two. This is from Saturday, March 16, about a week. I guess I'd been there for almost 3 weeks by this point. Yeah. Let's see. Hi, friends. I can't say that I have any more news from this here farm. I'm just weeding the scallions, planting, watering, and weed whacking with the machete, the okra field. I'm walking and talking and thinking about coming back to do some kind of bike project here, like Bikes Not Bombs. Everyone I've talked to says they'd love to have more bikes, they're just too expensive. In terms of transportation, there are regular cars on the road, and if you want to ride somewhere, usually the first car to pass you will pick you up if you wave. Even last night, four of us were hitchhiking in the dark, and we got picked up by the first vehicle with enough room. Yesterday, the farm coordinator, Giselle, told three of us internationals that we were going with her in her car to the next town over, 20 or 30 minutes by car, to spend the afternoon with her friend. Well, her car broke down, as it has been doing for the past 2 weeks, and fortunately for me, it was near the Pomerac tree, the only Pomerac tree with ripe fruit that I've seen since I left Port of Spain 3 weeks ago. I'd been wanting to stop by there for the past week, and yesterday was my lucky day, though Giselle's unlucky one. I climbed the tree and filled my backpack with fruit while three or four other motorists stopped to help fix the car. Eventually, the four of us abandoned the car and flagged down a ride. But now, finally, I have some offering to share with people wherever I go. Tomorrow, I hope to go in the truck to the wholesale market, about an hour's drive away. I say tomorrow, but they actually leave at 2 or 3 in the morning, and anyone in their right mind knows that is not tomorrow, that is tonight. Night and day just sort of all blend together here. I gave some Pomerac to the wife of the market man, and she said, "You could sell this in the market." So this afternoon, maybe I will go pick more if I'm up for riding in a car. I so wish I had a bike. It's only about 10 kilometers. If anyone wants to see pictures of the farm, here's their woofing page with a 3-minute video. You can find that on, you can do a, listeners, you can search for that on YouTube. One Family Farm. Woof, with the WWOOF. That stands for Worldwide Workers on Organic Farms. Hope y'all are well. Love, Ruthie. That was from March 16th. And now my last and final update from Trinidad. This was April 1st. Hi, friends. I heard spring is coming up there. So here's an update all about me. Not much to report here. Every day is full of sun and clouds moving east to west. Hard, dry clay soil that I try to break up with a machete so the okra and bok choy starts can absorb water. It's dry season, and we spend hours every day watering things and filling barrels with water on days that the water is piped in. I've gotten much better at using a machete in the last 5 weeks. I now no longer hesitate to plunge the blade into dirt and rocks. Apparently, that's what it's for. Digging, weeding, hoeing, cultivating, prying, cracking coconut, digging out coconut, cleaning my fingernails. I got a bike about 2 weeks ago. My life changed, for better and for worse. For better, I have the joy of riding. For worse, I'm going too fast for people to invite me into their homes when I go by. The bike is from a boy who was trying to sell it, but it was broken. I said, "How about I fix it up and you let me ride it till I leave, and I'll return it to you in better shape than when I got it." He consented. The bike is a BMX fixie. Yeah, a fixed gear. I've never really ridden a fixed gear before. I stand up and pedal most of the time, because the bike is pretty short. It has one speed, fast. You can't sit down and coast. The pedals keep on turning like a flywheel. I'm often riding at night on a narrow road, no lights, but I quickly go off into the ditch amongst the cocoa trees when needed for safety. My biggest problem is when I forget that I'm supposed to ride on the left side of the road here. To fix flat tires here, patches are too expensive or inaccessible, so people just tie off the hole in the tube with a string and stuff the tube back in with a big lump there. A couple days ago, I asked a friend where I could get an appropriate piece of wood to fix a broken knife handle from the commercial farm kitchen. I put "commercial" in quotes because it's a pretty simple kitchen. Anthony was sitting in the doorway of his breezy wooden room house at the top of a hill overlooking the ocean. When I asked him what kind of wood I needed, he said, "You need a piece of pui." He got up, and a few feet away, on the steep slope covered in pumpkins next to his house, he picked up a stick. He sat back down and pulled out his utility knife and started carving. I handed him the broken knife with only half a handle left. "I have some copper wire I pulled out of some electrical wiring I found in a trash pile," I said, "but I left it back at the house. Should I go get it?" I asked. Oh, but it's kind of far, he said, back to your house. No, I said, I have my bike sitting at the bottom of the hill. I'll be right back. By the time I got back with the wire, he was shaving down the beautifully carved handle with a piece of broken glass. He cut a slit with a hacksaw, a precious tool, inserted the metal handle part of the blade, stuffed a piece of the copper wire in the slot along with the blade handle, and tightly wound the rest of the wire around the handle until everything was tight and smooth. Then he invited me up the hill to pick a very ripe papaya, which he gave me. And then he invited me to come back that night for a pumpkin and coconut bake with fresh hot chocolate from seeds he had picked, dried, roasted, peeled, ground with a mortar and pestle he had carved. So many days I am offered hospitality like this from different people. The other evening, our farm host went out to the garden to get some herbs for dinner, but she came back in startled. Ha ha! I bent down to get some seasoning and there's a caiman there! We all ran out and admired the 4-foot alligator lounging in the dark next to the thyme. One evening last week, a man was murdered in the village, execution style, by people in camouflage. People are saddened by the shifts they see taking place in their community. They are often talking about the situation or the influence of the situation in Venezuela, which they say is 7 miles away across the ocean. But I can't see it. Many things are blamed on the Venezuelans and the desperate situation they're facing. Hard drugs trade, guns coming into the country, pirates holding fishermen hostage, human trafficking. The locals say there are certain parts of the shore where we shouldn't go at night, but in the village we're safe. It feels safe to me. There was an article in the national paper that came out yesterday about the farm and the international volunteers with pictures of us. That was in the Trinidad, I forget what it is. Anyway, I forget what it is. The headline is pretty bizarre and inaccurate. Labor shortage crippled Trini farms. I think the article was partly a reaction to the murder, and the reporter wanted to highlight positivity and goodness in the community. I feel so lucky for all the friends I've made here. Sometimes you go to another country and people want to be friends, partly because they want to go to the U.S. someday. But most people I talk to here are content to be here and to share the peace and good vibes of their culture with foreigners. That's it for now. I'm still trying to get the ephemeral plane ticket back to the U.S. My holdup now is that I can't figure out how to make a phone call to the U.S. to redeem my credit with the airline. Technology, bureaucracy. I'm telling people here I'd like to return in September. Love, Ruthie. All right, that was the third letter I wrote back. Thanks for listening to out there here on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Here's Chronics.
And it's a protege, eh? Yeah. Chronics are where you say, eh?
Yeah. To my friends and foes, and I suppose I'm pleased to be chilling in the West Indies. Jah provide all my wants and needs. I got the sunshine, rivers and trees. Release, hey.
When me see Jah, me see a way. Drastically straight from hypocrisy, I say, hey. Every man to them own a philosophy. I live the proper way and then me read a chapter daily. Man, they in a city hungry and no eat. And food they down a country just a drop off of the tree then. You see, say poverty no real then. Is what the reason revealing.
To my friends and foes, and I suppose I'm pleased to be chilling in the West Indies. Jah provide all my wants and needs. I got the sunshine, rivers and trees. green leaves, yeah.
When the rain pitter pat on the roof, herb just a steam pepper pot on the stew. Life is a dream if you got gratitude, so go tell the regime them can't stop where we do now. Information you think on your own, or else you're a slave to the things that you know. What do you know if you learn every day? So be careful of things where you say.
Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? I just go where God shaping blows, sending love to my friends and foes.
Hello.
And I suppose,
hello,
I'm pleased to be chilling in the West Indies. God provide all my wants and needs. I got the sunshine, rivers and trees, green leaves.
Africa in our soul, but a Jah in our heart. It is of importance for I and I gather. If we cannot show now a balance that we had, how do we propose then to carry it abroad? Then I go to Ethiopia and you not have a plan. The building of a nation and a helper and every one a lover, one a man is just a man. It shall be a coronation when we land, land, land.
Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? I just go where the traping blows,
yeah, man.
Sending love to my friends and foes. And I suppose,
hello,
I'm pleased to be chilling in the West Indies.
Oh,
to provide all my wants and needs. I got the sunshine, rivers and trees, green leaves.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is. All right, I got a call from a listener who says I need to make the show a little more exciting and tell some like live stories or something. And I'm just drawing a blank. So let me play this interview from Trinidad with Noriega Granger, who was the elder farmer there, one of the many farmers. There was so much, like the main thing about my trip that I wanted to convey was just like the warm welcome that I got. And I didn't really do much interviews or take pictures or anything like that because I just wanted to be present and just absorb everything I could. So this interview, we just happened to be talking about, we talked about food. next time I go back, I'll do more in-depth interviews about more like things. But anyway, this is what I got. All right, so I'm here in Laloon, Moruga, Trinidad, in Giselle and Noriega's kitchen here with Michaela. Do you want to say hi, Michaela? All right. Michaela shakes her head. All right, Noriega. Well, okay, so Michaela, what are you doing? You're stirring the porridge that is different from the porridge you're used to. What kind of porridge do you normally have? Cornmeal, oats, maybe? And this
is a porridge, too. Flour porridge.
Flour porridge, okay. And Noriega, what kind of porridge is this that Michaela is stirring?
Gillas young corn before it dry. You know, scraped out from the cob and blend up. And I also have blend up natural coconut. the coconut that you got, get from the tree, you break, you dig out.
Yeah, you just cracked it on the patio just now.
Right, and all is about just freshness and naturalness.
Mm-hmm. So. And so right now, what are you cutting up?
Well, this is what they call spinach or bhaji.
All right, in the United States, we would call it figweed amaranth.
Right.
It's the stalk that Noriega is cutting up. So you're going to cut up the stalk and then do what?
I will blend it, shrink it, soak it enough, or cook it, because I know well what, it have a lot of nutrients in it. Mm-hmm. I'll blend it up with the skin, everything. Uh-huh. Because I know we were taught that the nutrients is just under the skin. So I just doing that thing that I know to myself is beneficial for good health and so. Uh-huh.
All right, so we have this culture clash here in the kitchen. We got Noriega cutting up the weeds for the good nutrition, and Michaela, like. Have you ever eaten that? You know, have you ever eaten the drink or like juice of that bhaji or spinach stalk? No?
I ate it before.
The juice? You had the juice? No, but the spinach, the bhaji.
Yeah?
The leaves. Yeah. Do you know anyone who cuts up the stalk and drinks the juice? No? Never seen it? No? Do you want to try some? Yeah, all right. So, Michaela, in your household, wait, did you have breakfast? What did you have for breakfast?
Bread. Uh-huh. And tofik.
And what?
Tofik.
And sausage, bread and sausage. Okay. And have you had breakfast yet?
Yes.
And what did you have?
I had a particular kind of rice.
The hill rice, the Creole rice, or what?
It's not the Creole rice, but it's a rice we call a white rice, because I didn't have any Creole rice, because Creole rice is the first preference, right? Uh-huh. But what I did, seeing that it's not Creole rice, I blend up coconut in it. Uh-huh. I blend it fine with the husk, I mean, everything melt out with a heavy beauty blender, and I throw the rice in the coconut milk. Then after, I had some fresh, nice fish that I put tomatoes, all the works in it now, right? Uh-huh. Properly seasoned with natural seasoning. Uh-huh. So for my breakfast this morning, I had rice in coconut milk and fish with green, different you call it seasonings, like onions. This,
yeah, in the United States, we call it herbs.
With herbs, yeah.
Okay, so of the things that you had for breakfast, like, what's the farthest away something came from?
Wow.
Tell me where everything came from?
Right. The coconut came from I picked up the coconut yesterday when I did the bush. In the garden, tomatoes, the only thing what came outside from that, which I will plant in time to come, is the onions, but the pimentos, the herbs and all these things, we plant them for ourselves, and the fish really, although I had it home already, but I went to the next village for it, on the beach again. So you meet the fishermen and you get the fish that good, reasonable price. So that is how I hardly have to go in the ghost tree. Because what I said this morning, I said, that is not because I'm taking this interview, no. I said, let me try something to eat, like, you know. And I searched. The closest I come to was biscuit, no salt biscuit. And still, I realized what I had was so much better. So it's very rare I just go in the ghost tree. Very, very rare, because all them sodas and all them things, we see we had natural fruits all around us. So Yeah, sweet ones, half sweet ones. You could sweeten this, the half sweet one if you want sweet with the sweet ones. You know, like mango. Mm-hmm. Or I'll go and buy a Nutriment or a Red Bull or something like that. And leave juicy, nice mangoes. Subtilized, you know.
Yeah.
Natural sweet flavors.
Yeah.
To give artificial flavors.
Yeah. On my walk here, I found a sapodilla on the ground. It was busted, but there was one clean bite that I took out of it. And it was just like so sweet. My hands were so sticky. I couldn't get the stick off till I
it's
came
amazing.
Here.
It's amazing. You see what you have to understand too? That anything you get in the grocery, that is maybe second. You will get some second, but it's some second tamed and reject grades because you're taking the live things, right? You're killing it and then put it in a tin or in plastic packages and leave it there for so long and then say that is nutritious.
Yeah.
I think I could go and pick my body right from the field.
Yeah.
And one thing again, remember, all the supplements and this and that, what is made, they all come from the herds.
Yeah.
From
Yes. I feel like we human beings run around in such big circles sometimes, trying to just get back to where we started.
It's you like to run for the less.
Yeah.
And hide from the more.
Uh-huh.
Because remember, every single thing was already placed, you know.
Uh-huh.
All men are doing now with their desires is to put things in an unorganized manner, you know. Uh-huh. Because they cannot do it better. What other drink could be better than a coconut water?
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
It's sanitary because it's properly packaged.
Uh-huh.
With layers of protection, fibers, and you see how much more care these things takes, right? And we just have that just waiting there.
Yeah.
All we have to do is to plant it and just care, nothing else, right? And just drink it, right? And you know, when I study how powerful natural things are, the other day I was studying an orange. You know, orange, specially designed. Because if an orange was just in a container, in a big container, when that orange fall, all the liquid would have just run out and fall on the ground.
Uh-huh.
All would have just run out.
Uh-huh.
But it has so many different compartments, little layers that hold the juice there.
Yeah.
So these things are really, really, you know, so great.
Yeah.
So, hello? Yep.
I'll stir. I gotta start with Michaela. So Nariga's got...
Me?
Russ? So Nariga has farmland, garden land, lots of land to grow his own food. Do you, anyone in your family, do you have much, any land besides right around your house? You do? You got some farmland too?
Yeah.
What do you grow?
Pimento, I grow celery, tomatoes, plenty things.
And do you enjoy the food fresh from the ground?
Yeah.
Do you also have like yam and so, like potatoes, sweet potato, or like starchy vegetables like that? No.
Of cassava.
Cassava. Okay. Yeah, cassava. Okay. What do you think about the things Nariga eats and the way he like his diet, his choices, his dietary choices? Is it something that, like, in your household, Do people ever talk about like trying to eat like as local and as fresh as possible, or do they talk about like, you know, does anyone think about like packaging of food that's from the grocery store?
They will think about packaging.
They don't. No. Yeah, so who decides what you eat in your family?
My mommy.
Uh-huh. And where does she get the food?
Home.
How many kids is she usually cooking for? How many people is she usually cooking for?
Four.
Uh-huh. You and your brother, your, who else?
Who? Mommy, my two brothers, uh-huh. And me and my daddy.
Oh. Uh-huh. Is this done? Here we go. You think this is done? Should I turn this off?
Yeah.
Ross, I was just interviewing Noriega and Nikki.
Yes.
About food and idols and store-bought food and the local food and all that. Can I talk to you?
Oh, yeah.
How do you decide what to eat?
Once it's something good and nutritious, I will eat.
Like, for example... Give me some examples. I mean, because I see you cooking here all the time. Like, I know what you eat, but tell the listeners what you like to eat and cook.
Well, you know, more natural thing like yam and fig and cassava and, you know, make sure I have my coconut grating in it too. You know what I mean? I love my seasoning and things so forth. I ain't really like them oil where they have in the shop and all them things. I will use my coconut oil and things. More natural things now. Mm-hmm. Natural fruits. Mm-hmm.
Do you make coconut oil?
Yeah.
How do you make it?
You grate it. You squeeze all the fat from it, like you strain it. And afterwards, the next morning, you cover it down. The next morning, you hot your pot. And the fat just be on top of the water. You scrape off the fat. And when it burn it, it turns to oil. It turns to oil. And that is that have omega-3 in it. That ain't have no fat in it.
Uh-huh.
It's a natural thing. The pastry actually something plenty better. When you eat them as a food, you see trouble with the intestines, passing through your intestines and so forth. So that is the better food, natural food to eat. More greens and tomatoes and... When you watch the animal in the wild, they used to cook and used to buy the food. Half of them may look as... They look just like we, plenty of we. Sicky and other run. But how they eat it natural.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So they look shiny and healthy. Might look fat like dogs, or you just mind, they might look a little lean, but shining and healthy now.
Uh-huh.
You have to eat more healthy in this life.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to stop that interview here. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. That was an interview that I did in La Lune, Moruga, Trinidad, when I was there for part of February, all of March, and part of April of this year, 2019. And some things that Noriega said in his interview, I wanted to say a little bit more about. Like, he talked about the rice. I asked him if he had eaten the Creole rice, but he said no. So the Creole rice is rice that was brought to Trinidad by the Americans. That's spelled Merikins. And the Americans, they were African-American Marines of the War of 1812. They were former African slaves who fought for the British against the United States. And then after post-war service in Bermuda, they were established as a community in the south of Trinidad and Tobago in like 1815 or 1816. The British said, you fight for us and we'll give you freedom. And when they came to Trinidad, they brought one of the things they brought with them was the rice, the Creole rice from the like Louisiana area where they'd been living. And that's now like a traditional, historical, cultural thing in South Trinidad. Like when I, one day I was walking, I walked over to the next village where the computer center was. And in that village in Maroc, they had a little rice, I don't know, mill, where, you know, if you could get your rice threshed or winnowed or something like that. I was actually there in dry season, so the rice that was there was from the previous. I don't know when it was harvested, last fall, we would call it fall. But when I was there walking through town, I met some people, some other tourists from
other parts of the country. Actually, I met a couple guys that were from Trinidad but now lived in Miami and New York. They gave me a ride back to Nariga's house, but they had come to Maroc to specifically to get the Creole rice, and they were all showing me their bags of Creole rice. Something else. Something else that Nariga talked about. Yeah, made me think of, so right now it's spring planting season in New England. It's very exciting. And when I was in Trinidad, almost everything that people had in their yards, like they planted things that they could eat. And that was just like, you know, common sense. You plant an avocado tree, or, you know, you let the coconut tree grow, or you plant let the mango tree. So, you know, having food to eat growing in your yard was like common sense for like resiliency and survival and just like pleasure out of having good, healthy food. Arbor Day is coming up this weekend. And anyway, in your spring plantings, just like, yeah, anything you can plant that's going to be edible or contribute to food that we can eat, or you know, flowers that will help pollinate the fruit trees. Food. We all need food for survival. Don't forget to plant food this spring. And what else was I going to say? So, I don't remember. I guess I'll play a song and it'll come to me very quickly. This is Buju Benton.
Only Rasta can liberate the people. Don't let them fool you. Don't believe for a minute that they are with you. Jah free the people over hills and valleys too. Don't let them fool you. Don't believe for a minute they don't like you. Why try to make I am happy? Really, I don't know. Sun or the snow, through that mystical communication within, we keep on coming together. I love to see brothers and sisters looking out for one another. That's the way it should be, not contrary. Stop tearing down each other. Only Rasta free the people over hills and valleys too. Don't let them fool you. Don't believe one minute that they are with you. Jah free the people over hills and valleys too. Don't let them fool you. Don't believe for a minute that they are with you. Our dogs won't do. You're just behaving like they want you to, yeah. I say arrogance is much different from ignorance, and I know you feel the same way too. Many live this life without having a clue. No reason why they are so sad and blue. Places to go, so much things to do. Not a moment to reflect on the cycle of life, yeah. Who free the people over hills and valleys too? Don't let them fool you. Don't believe for a minute that they are with you. Jah free the people over hills and valleys too. Don't let them fool you. Don't believe one minute they don't like you. It's hard, it's hard, it's hard.
So speaking of local food and growing food, Cadbury just reminded me that the Tuesday Farmers Market started yesterday in downtown Northampton behind Thorne's, and the Saturday Farmers Market starts this Saturday in downtown Northampton, and the Wednesday Farmers Market in Florence starts next Wednesday on May 1st, May Day. Oh, I think what I was going to say before the song, one of the other things I wanted to talk about was how, like, some of the other foreigners that came as part of the woofing program, you know, like one person, you know, well, we have these ideas of like poverty and what poverty is. And, you know, one person said, oh, I've never really seen poverty till this. And I thought that was a strange thing to say, because in my observations, like, people had ample food and you could drink the water when it was running. It was running through the pipes maybe 3 days a week. And the thing is, like, people look healthy and seem healthy. They look so much healthier than the average American that I see in my travels. Yeah. But, yet, I mean, access to money was definitely an issue. Access to cash money was a problem. And so, like, if you're a farmer and you're trying to get a loan or something like that, or you're trying to get a bank account, all those things were very difficult. Finding tools, access to tools, trying to buy tools was very difficult. I looked online and, like, a used Huffy bicycle, which is like a cheap department store bike that might cost, I don't know, $80 new here, brand new at Walmart, cost $100 there in U.S. dollars. Anyway, so yeah, things like that were definitely expensive. All right, now I guess one more thing I want to share, if I have time, I'm going to start this, is a little part of my farewell speech that I gave at the farewell party they had for me the night before I left. Thank you all so much for your kind words, your hospitality, and the welcome I felt here. A couple of you said that you felt like I was already Trini when I came. That means a lot to me because I felt that way too. I didn't plan on coming here. As some of you know, I originally made plans to come to Trinidad because I was trying to meet up with a friend from France who was sailing on this homemade bamboo sailboat through the Caribbean. See, I was going to meet him in St. Lucia or Grenada or somewhere, but he didn't know where he would be, and all the plane tickets from the U.S. to those islands go through Port of Spain anyway. So I said to him, I'll just get my ticket to Port of Spain, Trinidad, and then you let me know where you are and I'll meet you. But when I didn't hear from him for days, I had to make a backup plan. I was actually on the bus on my way to the Miami airport for my flight when I signed up for Workaway. And when I saw the one family farm profile, I knew I wanted to come. And honestly, I wasn't disappointed that my friend got lost at sea for 8 days and I ended up here. So when I got to the Miami airport, I hadn't flown in 15 years. And I'm sitting there with everyone else waiting to board the plane, feeling kind of out of place. And I just had this feeling of like feeling a part of human history. For hundreds of years, people have been taking journeys to Trinidad for all different reasons, under all different circumstances. I thought of people who made the journey across the Atlantic under slave ship conditions, or people who came as indentured servants from India. I had a lot of unknowns in my journey. I didn't know anyone here, or even what part of the country I was going to, or where I would stay. But the people in charge of my journey were professional, respectful transporters, and I had money in my pocket, and freedom. Trying to wrap my mind around my journey that lay ahead, and centuries of journeys to this island that humans have experienced, felt powerful and brought tears to my eyes. Earlier this week, I stopped in at the Maruga Library in Grand Chemin and read a book. I felt like I was playing hooky from the farm. I just sat in the library and read a book for an hour. The book was entitled Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome by an African-American author. When I saw the title, I immediately picked it off the shelf. I knew I wanted to read it. I knew when I saw the title. That's why I'm here. I come from a country where the wounds of slavery are still raw, where people are still not granted full respect, and interpersonal dynamics are all in the shadow of unequal power, unequal access to resources, unequal representation in government, business, jails, schools, etc. As a white person in the United States, I have much work to do there. But coming here to Trinidad has been like a vacation from that work, where I can just sit back and feel the love. And what I'd really like to do, if it's okay with everybody, is take a moment of silence right now and feel my deepest appreciation, or feel whatever you want to feel, or remember our ancestors, our loved ones, ones that have gone generations before us and ones just buried. That was a reference to Mighty Man, who was murdered 10 days earlier in the village and buried by his friends, some of whom were there just 3 days earlier. I'm so grateful for the care everyone here has shown me and the welcome. My first week here, you made sure I was never alone. In the United States, my life is very social, so alone time is something I cherish. But here, as a foreigner in a foreign land, it touched me to always have company. Leisha and Kevin cooking and liming with me at the Wolf House, or biking with Eileen on my first bike ride. Thank you for reminding me, Eileen, to ride on the left side of the road and telling me to walk down the big hill into Morocco. When Giselle or Nariga would say, "Get into the car, we're going blah, blah, blah," somewhere I couldn't understand. As much as I dislike cars, I of course wanted to go. You came for me, I thought, and my heart warmed. This was my first workaway experience and my first time in Trinidad. When I saw that work, the One Family Farm profile, I just thought, I want to go there, and it's felt like home ever since. I have to say, my first week here, the gender stereotypes I was subjected to felt limiting and frustrating to me. I was put in a box unfamiliar to me, where my interests and abilities weren't allowed to shine. But when I expressed my frustration to Nariga, he responded by giving me different work assignments and my own machete. Yeah, I want to carry pumpkins, I want to carry sticks and haul bamboo and build things. I'd like to encourage One Family Farm and friends to be more aware of how women and men may be asked or expected to only do certain things based on stereotypes rather than physiology. We are all generally more capable than we think. What else? Nariga says that I came here in search of love, and he's right, and I found it, and I want to thank each and every one of you for that. That was a letter, my farewell letter when I left Trinidad a few weeks ago in April. Thanks to the you listening out there on Valley Free Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. And, yeah.
The views and opinions expressed on W...